This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's Fist Pump Time. We're live on the Fan Cam. We are live, of course, on Twitch, and the Autoflex Easing Fan Text is open at 877-881-1053. Is Russell Wilson going to end up in the NFC East? And another college football bombshell with Brian Kelly going to LSU. All that plus Jerry Jones at 8:30 this hour. Who's the recent bid for golf? On Sunday, joining us in the Colony?
Yeah, Topgolf in the Colony for a Jared Sandler Swing for a Cause charity event. My good friend Adam Vinci, the general manager at Platinum Ford in Terrell. So right now it's at $800.
All right, so I think we've matched KMC. So all we had to do is wake up, you know, when we decided to get involved. We're like team light switch. We decided to just turn it on. When we open up the microphones, we're just going to take the lead and shut this thing down.
Yeah.
So we'll see you Sunday. Let's keep it going throughout the entire week. 877-881-1053. What did Vegas think of the Rangers' moves? The number one story of the day for this show. It's not college football. It's not the Cowboys. Dan Quinn replacing Mike McCarthy. It is Corey Seager signing. 10 years, $325 million. When you add this to Marcus Semien, when you add this to John Gray, $500 million spent by the Rangers in 3 days. So the odds at DraftKings for the Rangers to win the World Series, have you looked at any of this?
No, I have not looked at any of this.
The odds were 150 to 1. 150 to 1. What do you think they are now?
75 to 1.
90 to 1.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, look, they're still like, I know there's excitement. And I know they've signed two legitimate MVP candidates. Like seriously, like Semien and Seager can win the MVP this year. Mm. Let's be fair on this. They both easily could be in the top 5-10 of MVP voting this year. Like, they're that good. But you know, it is not the Angels are showing you can't just have Superman. You know, Mike Trout's the best player I've ever seen when he's healthy, which is a rarity now.
Yeah.
And they can't buy wins. They had the MVP this year. They had in Ohtani. They couldn't buy. You know, they've had basically the guy who should be the MVP every year for the last decade, and they can't win. So you need more than just a couple of guys.
And at best right now, at best
they're the third best team in the
division. They're the third best team. I have them at three.
Yeah.
At best, behind Seattle and Houston.
Right. Now, to be fair about Seattle.
And the Angels have more talent than we do.
Well, when you have Rendon, Trout, and Ohtani.
They added Syndergaard.
Yeah. So Rendon, Trout, Ohtani, Syndergaard is better than Semien, Seager, Gray.
Yeah.
Who the hell's the fourth?
Who's the fourth?
Yeah, like that. So it's better. Like, they're better from a talent perspective at the top. The depth, the Rangers are going to become the Astros or not become the Astros based on the progression of Wynn and Leiter and Young. Like, that's how they're going
to
do it.
I should have listened to my inside source, Tolo. By the way, Chad Snyder coming in $900 to join us at Top Golf on Sunday. But I should have listened to my insider who had a little Chris Woodward connection. And was telling me the other day, 10 for 320, because the Rangers had been plus 400 to sign Seager. Fourth best odds. Dodgers were the favorites. Yankees were second. Astros were third. So I could have put down some money and won it. Rangers are even money to sign Kershaw. DFW ties. Rangers might have $24 million to spend on top of what they've already done. The Angels, second best favorites to sign Kershaw. Dodgers are third.
Wow.
So that's where we stand right now. Their pennant odds have also improved to plus 4,000. That's still the second worst mark behind the Orioles. So that tells you what Vegas thinks. They're like, okay, fun, headlines. You're still right above the Orioles when it comes to winning the American League.
You know, the Kershaw thing, this is interesting because there are certain players that, you know, when you think of them just with that one team. And when they stay with that one team for their entire career, you know, there's a, I think some guys like that romanticism. And I think Kershaw is that guy. But I wonder is, do the Dodgers even want to make effort to bring him back? I don't know. I would not go above and beyond for Clayton Kershaw. He's a little bit older.
I think this will tell us what this front office is thinking in terms of competing or...
Yeah, Kershaw is to compete this year. Like, you don't bring in Clayton Kershaw for 2 years from now. Tom Verducci was talking yesterday about this team competing as early as 23. All right? Well, like, you know, are you going to bring Clayton Kershaw in to kind of, you know, wait a year? No, you bring him in because you're ready to compete now. You know, 23 is the accelerated timeline. It's probably more like 24. But the accelerated timeline is 23. I don't know that I would bring him in. I know he's local. I know he'll probably sell some tickets. Dude, you don't need to sell tickets anymore. You got Seager and Semien.
That's the thing. Is it going to be about tickets or competing? Because if you're trying to, like, win, you don't need to sign Clayton Kershaw. If you're trying to fill the place every fifth start to go along with your two MVP-type candidates, then you do go and sign them. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do. By the way, Ken Rosenthal... Major League Baseball insider asked one Rangers official, why now? Great question. The response, quote, so we should wait another year, get our asses kicked, and try again next year? And Rosenthal said, okay, point taken. Rosenthal also, I'm getting this from MLB trade rumors, the Yankees are pursuing a trade for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And there was another person out there, it wasn't Rosenthal, it was just kind of an internet rumor, saying they're taking calls on Gallo already. Wow.
Yeah, they are. Joey Gallo went after some of the New York media guys.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. They were, there was a story in one of the papers a while back, they still read newspapers up there, it's weird, about how he tries his uniform on, and then if it doesn't fit right, he takes it all off and puts it back on again, like the whole thing off.
Okay. He's
superstitious. And he went after him. He was like, yeah, you know, like, you guys are actually worried about how I get dressed. You know, so he, and Joey does that. Joey has no problem going after, you know, somebody. You know, he's very outspoken.
I mean, he didn't hear.
He didn't hear because there's no idiots here.
Yeah.
In the media.
People said, in terms of the New York media, it would not be a good fit with Joey Gallo long term.
It's not. Like, you know, it's just not a good fit.
Joey's he's an awesome, cool dude.
He's a great dude. He will, I mean, like, seriously, he is the guy you root for. But it's just, you know, that team has enough strikeouts anyway. He adds to it, and he is going to be kind of the punching bag from the fan base, and it's just not going to be a good fit.
And the follow-up there from Michael Mayer, there's at least one AL West team involved.
In the Gallo deal? You know, it might be Seattle. They could probably use some punch. But, you know, look, I'll tell you, you want to talk about...
What about us?
You think they would bring him back? I'll tell you this, man. Could you imagine? This is actually kind of funny. The Yankees are going after Correa and Seager, and they settle on Kiner-Falefa.
Oh.
And that fan base is going to mutiny. They are going to string Cashman up.
Cashman is already trending because they're not happy.
No, but, you know, like... Trending. You know, the Rangers bid more than anybody was going to bid.
Yeah.
No one was going to pay Seager $325.
Look, if you ask me, I believe, I should probably save this for another day, I think the Corey Seager deal is going to end up being a disappointment.
Well, listen,
these deals, and I can do my own study and give you the last top 10 deals paid out like this. Disappointing. And this guy's really injury prone. Like, this is probably going to be a disappointment, but I still think the Rangers had to do it. Like, yeah, the Mavericks had to do it with Porzingis.
Like Corey Seager's not worth $32.5 million a year.
No.
Okay. How do I know that? Because Mike Trout's getting $35 million a year. All right. So he's not $2.5 million worse than Mike Trout.
Like, this guy is not Tatis. Like, he's not a superstar.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
He is a legitimate MVP candidate when he's healthy. You know, but he's probably, like, theoretically, like, if you were to base everything off of Mike Trout's $35 million, he's probably worth $27 million. And I would be willing to bet the Dodgers said, hey, we'll give you 10 for 285. Like, I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
And the Yankees probably said, hey, we'll give you 10 for 285. And the Rangers were like, or maybe they said 7 for 190 or 200. And the Rangers said, dude, we need this guy. We're going to go and we're going to overpay, just like we did for A-Rod. And that's okay. You got to do these things. It doesn't always work, but these are things you got to do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
McKissick in the backfield with Heinicke, who takes the snap. Seattle brings four. They just toss it out to McKissick, who navigates to the 10-5, going into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
That's the call on Washington Radio. They're now second place in the NFC East with a record of 5-6. Seattle is in free fall. DK Metcalf is trending. He had one catch for 13 yards. And Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, it's an absolute disaster. One Tolo heard us reviewing the draft order as it stands right now and said Russell Wilson's going to end up in the NFC East next year.
Oh.
The Jets have picks 4 and 5. The Giants have picks 6 and 7. And Philly have picks 8 and 9. With Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson possibly all on the market.
Could you imagine if Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson make their way to the NFC East next year? Like, you better hope. You better hope.
Well, we know that Russ, we don't know. We've heard strongly that Russ wants the Giants. He wants New York.
Of course. Of course, because he's Russell Wilson. He's a star, and Sierra.
Yep.
Imagine
Deshaun.
What level of star is she?
Big. She's big.
Yeah.
She's not Beyonce. She's not Adele.
Right. She's not selling out AT&T, but she'll sell out American Airlines Center.
Just imagine Russ on the Giants, Deshaun in Washington.
Yeah, and Philly, who knows what they view Hurts as.
Right.
I mean, they could make the playoffs in a rebuild. So that would be nasty.
All right, in a bad way. We got a big signing that has just taken place. I told you not to look at your phone.
It wasn't on the phone.
Okay.
And I'm not, I don't know either.
What do you think it is? We missed big yesterday thinking it was Corey Seager signing with the Rangers and said Mike McCarthy was on the COVID list.
Oh, so this is baseball. This is not.
I haven't said what it is.
Okay. You said signing. Oh, okay. I guess it could be. My panic is that you're going to tell me that Oklahoma is signing Josh Heupel as their head coach.
And why would that be?
Well, because he coaches Tennessee. And that's my team. And he has actually done a pretty good job there. Like, they're a fun team to watch.
Okay. It's baseball. It may get us our guest at 9 o'clock.
Oh, Javi Baez.
Javi Baez has signed for $140 million with.
Well, who wanted Baez? The only team I knew that wanted Baez was Detroit.
And that's where Correa is supposed to be going.
That's where Correa is supposed to be going.
It is the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, man.
6 for $140 million. Did the Yankees want Correa?
They do want Correa.
After he insulted Derek Jeter.
Yeah, but you know what? Cash doesn't care about that. Cash would like Jeter anyway. He hated dealing with Jeter. He wanted to move Jeter off shortstop. Jeter said no. So that they Cash, this may be music to his ears.
So this is going to be what? 23 and change a year for Javier Baez. And our guy, Corey Seager, just got what? 10 for 325?
Yeah, so 32 a half.
Almost 10 more a year than Javi Baez.
Interesting. Okay. And now, age-wise, you know, Baez will be 29 in December.
And Seager's 27.
Yep. Career batting average for, you know, the career numbers for Baez. I mean, you know, he's under an 800 OPS guy. And OPS on-base plus slugging. And you like to be over, you like to be over 800. And Seager is definitely over 800 in that. Seager's a better player. I mean, look, dude, Seager's OPS is 870 career. That's very good. His OPS plus is, which is, you know, 100 is league average. His career is 131. Baez is 104. Baez is barely above league average as offensively. Like, I know people love him, but the Rangers have a better player. Like, Corey Seager is no doubt a better player than
so what does this mean for Carlos Correa?
Well, it means Carlos Correa is looking at either A, going back to Houston, where they offered him, it was a 5 for $170 million. That's a non-offer. It's B, you know, talking the Yankees into throwing the kitchen sink at him. You know, maybe the Dodgers do make a run for him. Maybe they do. Although they have Trey Turner, so I don't know.
The Mets.
Oh, maybe the Mets do as well, but I think now Seager's sights are probably, it's pretty clear, it's going to be the Yankees or back to Houston. There could be a surprise team. I don't know.
Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame for LSU. What type of fit is that? Is Brian Kelly already getting his Twitter game right?
Yeah, he's already changed his Twitter profile, his header. It's already Photoshopped with him in LSU gear. By the way, Brett McMurphy says Brian Kelly received a 10-year, $95 million contract. So $9.5 million is what he'll make. Right. And also, according to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, Brian Kelly met with Notre Dame this morning for 11 minutes.
I love how we time it.
Oh, time it out.
Yesterday, the articles had Lincoln Riley like running out of the Oklahoma meeting, running out, getting on the plane, getting off the red carpet for the USC press conference and introduction. We apparently got the mass text message that Brian Kelly sent to his players being like, sorry, you didn't hear from me. We'll talk about it this morning. And apparently that lasted for 11 minutes. So that's where we stand right now. What a sports week. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. Back to the Rangers at 9 o'clock, but we got some, Bassick's had Lindor's on the Mets.
They ain't gonna
got
take
my middle infield crossed up.
Yep. They ain't gonna take him.
What's the Cowboys' problem or problems? What's up with the Dak inconsistency? What are they losing in Mike McCarthy with Dan Quinn taking over Thursday night? And why wasn't Amari Cooper practicing? Jerry Jones, next. Let's bring in Jerry Jones back on schedule with us every single Tuesday at this time on Sean and RJ, Cowboys Saints Thursday night at New Orleans. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
John, RJ, I'm doing fine, and let's go get them in old New Orleans.
Yes, let's get a little response here with some of the struggles you guys have had as of late. Jerry, just your overall assessment of some of the issues that have plagued you guys here in these past few games.
Well, let's start on the field. I think that we've got a challenge getting our running game back on track. We all know that's complimentary. You don't need to hear that from me this morning about how your success in your passing game, your early success, your plays down the field, how that fundamentally impacts that running game. So it's a coordinated effort. We think that with the addition of Cooper coming back and certainly having CD back, that that's going to give us more chances, more opportunities down the field. It should be that way, and in doing so, that'll help your running game out. In addition to that, we've got Tyron Smith back for his second game since his extended layoff, and that's gonna help us out a lot. We've switched some guys position-wise in the offensive line there over the last month. They're continued getting used to that, working with each other. That's one of the most coordinated areas there is in your offensive line, helping each other adjust with your blocks, just literally getting used to joining the blocks together. Double teams is the best way to describe it. So I think overall, just from the standpoint of working together, that we've got a better chance to play offense. Now, New Orleans, Sean Payton are going to have a lot to say about how well we do, but I know this. I think we'll go in there with our ears pinned back. I think we'll go in there, everybody recognizing how much this game means, and play well offensively.
That was a good on-field description. Thank you for that. Of course, off the field, we had the big news yesterday with Mike McCarthy on the COVID list with Dan Quinn taking over. Can you kind of just take us through that transition, Jerry, and what you're expecting with Coach Quinn taking over for Mike?
Well, I think it's important to realize that Dan Quinn has had years of working with what he's going to be doing Thursday. He's had years of on-the-field experience in current environment. I mean, it hasn't been that many games or that many weeks or that many months since he's been out there making those in-game calls. We're so fortunate to have him, so fortunate to have him as recently as he's head coached and been on the sideline. If anybody can, he should be able to handle what he needs to do as defensive coordinator right there on the sideline. And he was obvious choice there for Mike to make, and he made it. The team really believes in him. I'm talking Dan Quinn, and believes in Mike's decision to put him in there.
And he'll maintain his responsibilities as defensive coordinator as well?
Yes, he will. And you've got to realize that we have, according to how you want to count some of those assistants to the assistants, we arguably have 26, 27 coaches. And that's almost three coaches to a player that's on the field. We don't have any shortage of coaches out here.
Jerry, quite a bit of people in the organization, coaches, players, have come down with the COVID. Is there an issue with the protocols that the NFL has, or that you guys individually have as a team?
We're very proud of the grades we get, the recognition we get among the league-wide assessment of each team. I'm very confident that as to our ability to actually have protocol that limits an outbreak or limits the COVID affecting the team, I think we're one of the best. This certainly, though, has been a setback. And I know this, I don't know of anybody that is any more careful that tries to lead the way, but mainly careful for his own in the weeds, I call it, management of getting exposed to COVID than Mike McCarthy. I don't know of anybody more careful. I don't know of anybody more vaccinated. I don't know of anybody that has taken precaution because of his on-the-job, or not on-the-job, but hands-on approach to every aspect. He takes a very serious approach to his presence. And so it was a surprise to all of it. But when we all step back from it, this COVID has no preference as to, frankly, how intense your protection is, I don't think. But I think But I do believe that you should be vaccinated. We now are either totally vaccinated through the natural having gotten it, or vaccinated, we're 100%.
Jerry, your team is 100% now?
Yes. Well, having vaccinated or having gotten the COVID.
Yes. Mm. Jerry Jones right here with Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, what do you think you're going to be losing the most with McCarthy being out? What traits or attributes do you think are going to be the hardest to make up with Mike missing this one?
It's a funny thing. I'm going to use my own experience. When I got the flu real bad way back when I was a sophomore. I couldn't even go to the dinner. I couldn't even sit upright. I was so weak. And the guy ahead of me, later coached in the NFL, Tommy Brazier, a guy ahead of me, I was a sophomore, got hurt the first play. And I couldn't even put pads on. I was so weak and so sore and just the bad flu. I went out and graded and played the best game I'd ever played before or since. I played my best game right there having the flu. So it's a funny thing how you can mentally step up sometimes and respond to that kind of adversity. I think we'll do well. If you really look at it, we've got one player. As of just before I got on here, we're testing. Now we're testing our complete group, all of them today. But we've got one player, possibly another one that could be held out, but I can't notice it on this call. But still, we're doing real well on the player standpoint. Like I said, I don't mean to be trivial, but now we do have a lot of coaches, and we do have the way to fill in here as far as game day or as far as practice.
Jerry, we know that Terrence Steele is going to be out with the COVID protocols. We've been wondering what's been going on with him and Leo Collins and the offensive line rotations. We know you guys like to keep up continuity, but when Steele was starting the other day, we said, what's wrong with Leo? Is he not playing as well, or is he being punished for some reason? Why are they rotating offensive linemen? That's pretty unusual. What can you tell us about what's going on up front?
Well, there's no word. If you're eligible to play, there's no such word as punishment in our makeup of who goes on the field. And Steele has been playing very well at right tackle, extraordinarily well. And so he's out there because at that particular time, that would be the combination that the coaches feel give us the best chance. Leal is continuing to get back in form is the best way I can say it. He missed arguably almost a year and a half. You can see that, but it's getting better, and it's good to have him with the time he's in there. It's getting better as we get on into the end of the year in the playoffs, and it's going to be good to have him and Steele out there.
Jerry Jones with Sean and RJ every Tuesday before the Cowboys travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints Thursday night. Jerry, what was the reason? We know Amari was back at the facility yesterday, but he didn't practice. Is there a reason he didn't practice?
As much as anything, it would be a conditioning thing, easing him in. But he's in all of the preparation other than what you saw him not do at practice. But he'll step that up today, and we're fully expecting him to be ready by game time.
And what about Zeke? The latest on him?
Yeah, he's practicing well, and we think he'll be ready to go. And no reason. It's I understand you're asking, but the facts are that we expect him to have a serious load against New Orleans.
Jerry, in this game, the major talking point for us at least has been, you know, the officials, the amount of penalties they threw. I think most people agree it was probably a bad game. You know, when players have a bad game, there's obviously punishments. Why can't it be more punitive that when officials put a game out there like this, that they are punished more? for that. I mean, it was terrible.
Track. You're right on track. The facts are they are punished. And they earn the right to, if you will, let's go to the premier game of all, the Super Bowl. They earn the right to their officiating throughout the year as to whether or not they can officiate a game like the Super Bowl. So they're graded, and they're when they make mistakes and they make numbers of them, they're rated against each other, and they do have accountability. My issue, again, was in some cases you see a rule that can probably accomplish what we're trying to accomplish more than anything. We're really trying to let them play. Mm-hmm. We're trying to let the game be played without the disruption of taking it back. We know that penalties are part of the game, and they have to be out there because it's such a physical game. You wouldn't have you'd have a much less game if you didn't have them out there. But at the end of the day, we're trying to let the players play. Flags away from the ball, things like that. And what I'm, what I continually want to see us do is what we call officiating like it were a Super Bowl. We know that the audience and the numbers of people that are watching our game, and we want that to be as seamless as it can be. And I thought that our game that we had on Thanksgiving was unfortunate because that was the singly most watched game of the year and will be until we do the Super Bowl, and it was anything but seamless. And it was equitable. Different teams got the penalty. Each team were penalized. Certainly, we seemed to get our third down big gains call back more than the Raiders, but that's probably splitting hairs. It's not splitting hairs relative to the outcome, and I'm not trying to be cavalier about it, but we just need to make sure that we all, at all times, and we do in the league, understand what we're trying to accomplish with our officiating. You can rule the game. You can set things you want to call and obviously dictate the flow of the game. You can dictate the whether it's more of an offensive game or a defensive game. For instance, pass interference. That pass interference has been on the books for years and years and years, except one year we said, you know, that touching downfield 5 yards, let's start calling that more. The rule's been there, but it was loose. It wasn't called as much, touching 5 yards down the field. Let's start loosening that up much. Let's don't call that as much. That can influence how much offense you got in the game.
Yes, absolutely. Jerry, how do you assess Dak's play here as of late? We're having a hard time judging you. On one hand, we say, well, you don't have Lamb, you don't have Cooper. That's going to affect anyone. On the other hand, we're saying, well, if you're a $40 million guy, you got to overcome that and win games. How have you looked at Dak's play recently?
Well, this may sound strange. It will. I thought Dak played a good game the other day. And we weren't hitting on all cylinders. Some would say, well, Dak was a part of that. He'd like to have some back that he threw. But in general, I thought that Dak played a good game. And have we had more success? Obviously we have. But I thought he did a really great job, particularly coming back after being thwarted, I'm going to use that word, most of the afternoon, and then come back and get us in a spot to win the game. So, again, he wants more. He does want more. We want more result. But that's not a criticism of him. I'm glad we've got him, boy. He's one of the best. And contrary to the way the fact that we lost the game, he got us back in position, and I thought he was the deciding difference to get us back in position to have a chance to win the game. And that's what we ask him to do.
Jerry, we know you've been saying the cavalry is coming. Can you give us an update? I kind of want to make it a three-person question. An update on DeMarcus Lawrence and get us set for the return of Randy Gregory and how you see him, all these guys mixing with Micah Parsons rushing the passer.
Well, I think they'll make a big-time difference. Lawrence has had a good week. You'll see him this week in New Orleans Thursday. Lawrence, my goodness, what a difference a player like that can make. He'll, of course, have to get his game going once he gets back in here. But still, big, big difference. Right behind him will be Gallimore. Right behind him will be Gregory. I don't know that you'll see them this weekend, but certainly you could see them after 10 more days up at Washington. And I don't know, when I say them, I'm a little loose, but you'll see one or the other, maybe both, by Washington. And so, boy, that is help on the way. You could make an argument that that's three of your four down linemen right there. And so that's very, very encouraging. And there's no doubt in my mind, of course, we're in a game that can take away as good as you can add to. We just happened this year to have a very unique timing of when players were injured and not available early, that they were going to become available as we get into the last third quarter, get on into potentially playoffs. That hasn't happened. This numbers of quality players have not happened in my time here. And so bottom line is we have more coming that will make us better.
Last one, Jerry. Michael Irvin, he joins us every week, but he had said on TV, book the tickets to Los Angeles. We're going to L.A. Get the hotel rooms. And we've all had the Cowboys top three in our own power rankings. Have you taken a step back recently and said, hang on, we still got a lot more to prove? Have you been second-guessing your contender status after these past four games?
What I've had happen to me recently is I've just had me a fresh cold water bucket thrown in my face, reminding me of how hard it is to win a game in the NFL. And they're all close. I think when we had the purportedly the best team that I've been associated with over a 30-year period, and we won 9 games by a touchdown or less, and we won the Super Bowl. But it was that close. It was that big of a dogfight every game. And I'm just reminded that that is the case. And it really is the case if you get some ambiguity in such things as officiating, which can cut both ways. But still, the more you have a question mark there, the little less you take away. It's like playing an underdog in the rain. The rain is an advantage to the underdog.
Yeah.
And so if you've got a little of ambiguity, which you do and should in officiating, then you know that it doesn't just go like you put it down on paper from that standpoint alone. So where we are fundamentally, when I look at our personnel, when I look at our young personnel, it's gotten all these snaps all year long. I like where we are. I really like where we are. I agree with Michael.
Oh, to book the tickets or to pump the brakes?
Both.
There you go.
Jerry.
And I've come in with a lot of times those old brakes smoking. All riding the brake.
Brought to you by Ford. Perfect. Jerry, thank you so much. This was fantastic. Best of luck on Thursday, and we'll talk after.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
There he is, Jerry Jones, every single week on your home of America's team. That's why you got a Tolo. Turn it on, leave it on with Jerry. So DeMarcus Lawrence, I think that they're going to kick the Saints' ass. I really do. I think Dak is going to ball.
They can't score.
The Saints. Yeah. Now, the Cowboys' offense, again, Dak got going late. The Cowboys' offense has had their inconsistencies, but we know that the Saints' run defense is really, really good, even though Philadelphia torched them. So pass it, throw it.
Yeah.
You got Lamb. You got Amari back. Yes, you're going to be on the road, but you're going to have – I can't wait to see what they do with the three-headed pass-rushing monster with Gregory, Lawrence, and Micah against Taysom Hill. Not Trevor Siemian. It looks like it's going to be Taysom Hill.
And you said for the Cowboys to pass or throw it. Jerry right there in the interview said that Zeke is going to have a quote-unquote serious load. And I don't know what a serious load would – B, but let's just say 30-plus carries. Zeke hasn't had a 30-plus carry game since week 8 of 2017. And that was 33 carries against Washington.
Ooh. Yeah, when's the last time he's run it for 80?
Yeah.
Six, seven straight weeks? It's been something like that.
It's week. Yeah, it's been a long time.
By the way, last thing on the Raiders. Did you see this gambler who turned $1,000 into $266,000.
I hate these stories.
He did nothing but player props. Cowboy Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Player props. Ready?
Yep.
DeSean Jackson, anytime, scores a touchdown. Happened. Zeke, over 19.5 receiving yards.
Yeah.
Easy one. Josh Jacobs, over 19.5 receiving yards. Michael Gallup, over 100. Tony Pollard, over 16.5 receiving yards. Easy one. And Zeke, anytime, scores a touchdown. They only seem, I know it's hindsight, but didn't these, I get, what would be the hardest one, the biggest stretch in your mind of
DeSean
all those?
DeSean Jackson touchdown.
DeSean.
That's an opportunity stat. Zeke's going to get,
And DeSean against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, nosebleeds asked Steven the other day, with what this guy just seems to do, revive himself against you, you ever think about signing him? So, but all those, I'm like, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. 1,000
yeah.
into 266K.
Man, and look, I'll tell you, player props are fantastic. Vegas does not put the same. They don't have the same advantage that they might have with other types of bets. If you could couple a player prop with like NBA player props and game winning, so you could have like Luka over 30, Mavs cover or Mavs money line, you know, in a game. You know, like those are great bets. I love player prop bets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.